Lord has been so gracious to us and given us impartations and seen so many things manifest and happen. And, you know, we're such at a critical time in season, and it's so important for us to understand where we're standing and in the area what God is doing, especially at the season we're in right now. You know, one of the things that we've been sharing about the Feast of the Lord and the necessity of understanding the Feast of the Lord, and we've gone through many things and gone in the book of Revelations and shared many things about the areas of the Antichrist and what the enemy's up to and what God's up to. And, you know, so many things are brought by walking in the Spirit, and as we continue to walk in the Spirit, God will bring things of through His Word that we'll have to discern whether it's past, present, or future and what He's talking about. And right now we're seeing all kinds of things happen globally. And even in the economic, which was prophesied about 6-7 months ago, about, I don't know, anyways, we spoke about this, that one of the things the enemy was going to do is trying to downfall America with the economic hit. And it's happening. You know, we need more righteous men in office and so many things won't happen. But there's much greed. And it's just a part of the season that we're in and the things that are happening, and God is exposing more and more and more things that are going on, even in the governmental officials and offices. And, you know, He's bringing more revelation to people that, because so many people put their trust in government, you know, and putting their trust in man, that He's bringing an intense move to the area where, you know, you can't trust man. And we're not supposed to. Our trust is supposed to be in the Lord and not a man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and curses the man who trusts in man. And in this, you know, God is just opening so many things for us to not only spiritually see, but physically see the things that are happening in the Spirit that are manifesting in the physical. Would you turn to the book of Revelations for a moment, please, in chapter 1. Revelation 1 and verse 4. Read it with me, please. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. And to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Verse 7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There's seven things that have really come out in these scriptures that are so powerful. And the first one, he says that He is Jesus the Christ. And it says that the number one is that He's the faithful witness. That is the first thing. There are like seven attributes of Him, of Jesus the Christ here. And it says that He is the faithful witness. The second thing is that He was the firstborn from the dead. And the third is that He is the ruler over all the kings of the earth. The fourth is that He washed us with His own blood. So He was the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over all kings, washed us with His blood. The fifth is He made us kings and priests. He made us what? Kings and priests. The sixth is that He will return and all will see. And the seventh is that He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and can destroy all creation. Because He's the Almighty. This is there was a correlation here with what was just said. It says that he was a faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler over all the kings of the earth, washed us with his blood, made us kings and priests. He'll return, and all will see in his beginning and the end. And in this, the correlation is that not only is he the Almighty, but he was the sacrifice as the Lamb of God that allowed us a place or position in his kingdom to become a king and priest. And it also says that, you know, he will return, won't he? And in this, for me and you to become a king and priest, we must be under someone that is a high priest and the King of Kings. So I want you to look at this for a second, because not only is he the high priest and the King of Kings, the commander of the Lord's army, he is the what? Commander of the Lord's army, isn't he? You know, Jesus fulfilled every office that there is. He came as a prophet. He came as a sacrifice. He came as the Lamb. There isn't any office that he can't fulfill. He is because he is. Because he's almighty. But I love it, because for me and you to become a priest and a king, and we always share about we first must fulfill our priesthood to become a king, which is a representation of warrior. And that a priest has specific duties. And Jesus has fulfilled his priestly duties and is still fulfilling them, and is fulfilling his kingly duties and still fulfilling them, because he's the one who fulfills all the offices. Go to Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Would you read it with me, please? Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Are you the seed of Abraham? Amen. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So we see here, for him to become high priest, he also had to go through the same thing that you and I would go through. Except for he overcame, didn't he? He overcame. He is a high priest, and one of the duties of a priest is to blow the trumpet. To blow what? The trumpet. There are specific things that a priest is required to do, isn't he? And we'll talk about some of the things here in a minute. But go to Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9:9. Would you read it with me? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and from the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Keep going. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. For I have bent Judah, my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet. The Lord God will what? Blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like corners of the altar. And the Lord, their God, will save them in that day as a flock of his people. For they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like the banner over his land. For how great is its goodness, and how great its beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, the king is coming. The high priest blows the trumpet, doesn't he? If you see here, it says the trumpet of God. God blows the trumpet. Why? Because Jesus is the high priest and he is the king. And it says that not only is the high priest coming, but the king is coming. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the what? Trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with him, with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I want you to go to the next chapter here. He continues on and go to verse 8. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God did not what? Appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also. Okay, so we see here that the high priest blows the trumpet. We just hear that Jesus is the high priest. He is also the king, King of kings and Lord of lords. He blows the trumpet. The trumpet blowing is a representation for gathering, warning, battle, coronation of a king. He also blew the trumpets for the new moon and full moon. I just want to be able to establish here that Jesus, being the king, being the priest and the king, is blowing the trumpet. Is everybody okay? Now, we know that the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, is an area which is on the seventh month of the first day. And seven meaning complete and perfect, and we've talked about the Feast of Trumpets already. And in this day, we've shared, and I truly believe that's a representation, also the removal of the church, because I really believe that there's a representation in an area of three resurrections. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And one of the areas is Jesus is the head. He was resurrected when he rose from the dead. He is the head, isn't he? So, the church is the body of Christ. And it just says that we are not accounted for the wrath of God. So, in this, we can see that the church should be removed on the Feast of Trumpets in the area of being restored with the head and the body. Now, in the Feast of Trumpets, 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets is celebrated the Feast of Atonement, known as Yom Kippur. And in this, Jesus, as the head of the church and the body, and calling this church up to heaven, Jesus also will be coming as the high priest, because it's the feast of the Day of Atonement, and also becoming as the king of bringing judgment. Now listen, by calling the church up to heaven, Jesus, of course, again, is the head in the resurrection by the body of Christ and fulfilling the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we know that there's always a seal left on the earth, isn't there? And we talked about this already. So, Jesus was sealed by the hand of God. The body of Christ was sealed by the Holy Spirit. And in the mid-tribulation, we know that the two prophets and 144,000 witnesses, they're sealed, right? So that means that the church would be gone. Because there's always a seal left on the earth. So once 144 are sealed, the body of Christ should be removed. And of course, 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each that are sealed, that are pure before God, they're all over the world evangelizing, aren't they? And the two prophets that are in Israel, because all eyes will be on Israel, are causing a bunch of problems all over the place, aren't they? According to the world, because they're calling down fire from heaven, they're destroying all kinds of things, the things that they're exposing, all kinds of things. People are trying to kill them, and they're going to be killing them with their mouth. And the devil is going to try to destroy him, but he can't because the Lord won't allow them to destroy him. So I want to share something with you. On the Day of Atonement, I truly believe, because that will be when the Lord will return to atone. And I also believe because the king who is the sealer will return on the Day of Atonement. And I believe that there will also be another resurrection then, because those who were sealed, because the prophets who will be laid out for 3.5 days, okay, will be resurrected, will be removed. And that's because of the truth. Now, I don't believe that this is going to happen 10 days after the rapture. I truly believe that once the rapture of the body of Christ is gone and the Feast of Trumpet is fulfilled, will be 3.5 years later. Because there's something very specific about 42 months. And we'll talk about that in a second. So I believe 3.5 years later that on the Feast of Atonement, the Lord will return and there'll be another resurrection. And then he will set up the tabernacle 5 days later in fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacle. We will reign for 1,000 years. And then at the end of 1,000 years, there'll be another resurrection and the white throne judgment. And that will fulfill way, truth, and life. Because why? They'll be judged by the book of life. And it says the books will be open and those who are written in the book of life and so forth. So those who are going to go through the great tribulation, who've accepted the truth and rejected the mark of the beast, whether they be killed or however, and those who are sealed at that period of time, I truly believe on the Day of Atonement when Jesus returns, because that is fulfilling truth. They're accepting the truth now. They're turning their ways, that they will be resurrected that day and the day that the Lord comes, because he is the king, he is the sealer, and now the sealer will remain on the earth. And there'll be nobody else that will have to be fulfilling of being sealed. So the Feast of Trumpets, remember, it's warning, it's battle, it's gathering. So we know that the gathering is coming together. And it's also warning about in preparation, because 10 days between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement is known as the Days of Awe. Because in tradition, it's an opportunity for an individual to look over their life and find what areas they need to repent for before judgment comes. So the great tribulation is going to be 3.5 years, 42 months, in that area of the time before Jesus returns in hope, because all the judgments are representation, so that, and God's hope is that people will turn and repent. The Bible says that he desires no one to die. So between the Feast of Trumpets and 3.5 years later, the return of the Lord and the fulfillment of the Feast of Atonement, there will be seals broken, there'll be trumpets, and there'll be vials poured out. And it'll continue to increase. God's judgment will continue to increase more and more and more and more, in hope that mankind and every man would come to repentance and accept Jesus. And of course, then we know that the Lord will return and kick butt. Praise God. Leviticus 17. The Day of Atonement. I'm not going to go heavily into this. I'm going to skim it just so that we can get an idea, because I just want to bring the realization. I'm just, in my spirit, it's just like bringing the realization of Jesus in this Feast of Atonement and the area connected with Israel. In Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Now, verse 11, would you read it with me? For the life of the flesh is what? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make what? Atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So we know that it's got to be blood, doesn't it? That's why Jesus was our atonement. The atonement, the covering by the blood. The life of the flesh, Jesus' blood removed sin, didn't it? It removed it. Now the Feast of Atonement, or the Day of Atonement, is the sixth feast. And six meaning man. So you know it has to do association with man. Six meaning what? Man. And on that day, it states that the soul will be afflicted. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls. In other words, fast. And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on the same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. Told you, he was a creator and could destroyer. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all of your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at the evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your what? Sabbath. So we shall afflict our souls. In other words, we'll fast those. And I want you to go back a little bit now, because we were talking about the atonement and the period between the trumpets and atonement, which will be 3.5 years when God begins to pour out his wrath so that people will come to repentance. That's affliction, isn't it? So those who reject Jesus will be afflicted, won't they, during that period of time? Why? In the hope that they will come to repentance, because the Feast of Atonement is a representation of afflict your soul. In other words, fast. But because they rejected Jesus, Jesus will afflict them. Except for the ones that are sealed, of course. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 5, please. Jesus is the high priest and the king of kings. In fact, Feast of Trumpets was completed today. I mean, it started yesterday at sunset and tonight at sunset. So 10 days from today will be the Feast of Atonement. So y'all ready to fast 10 days from today? From sunset to sunset. Or as long as you want, you know. Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? Reconciliation or redemption. So we know that the blood sacrifice, the atonement, we have received atonement or redemption through Christ's death. Now, atonement is an area where, if you were to separate the word, it'd say at one mint, you know. But it's an area where there's a oneness. So Jesus paid the price for me and you so that he would atone, remove our sins so that we become more one with him. Is everybody all right? Go to John 17. John 17 and verse 19. Let's start at verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the what? By the truth. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So you see, there's that oneness through what? The sanctification or through the atonement, because without the blood, there is no sanctification, is there? It's the blood that washes our sins whiter than snow. Is everybody okay? So they're sanctified by the truth. They believe the truth. Those believing during the 42 months, okay, of the great tribulation and repent during their afflictions will be sanctified and removed at the Lord's return. I truly believe this. Why? Because the purpose, God says he desires no one to perish. None. Go to Hebrews 9. You know, I can only share with you that the bottom line is it doesn't really matter, you know, when the church is removed and so forth. But we do want to know the times and seasons and understand the things that's going on. Because whether any of us is right or we're all wrong, the bottom line is your relationship with the Lord, isn't it? So just be ready in season and out. But I do not believe in a pre-trib rapture. I just don't see it. Why? Because 144,000 are not sealed. And there's got to be a seal left here on the earth. And there won't be a seal until mid-trib. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9. Is everybody there? Hebrews 9 and verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying in the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is a mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Christ, our high priest, his blood is much more precious, isn't it, than goats and bulls and so forth. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. So if you'll turn to Leviticus 16 again. Now, one of the things is that atonement actually started in the Garden of Eden, because when Adam and Eve fell, they put fig leaves on themselves and didn't fit too good. So before the Lord removed them from the garden, you know, judgment was still going to come in the area where they would no longer have eternal life. But he restored to them to be fruitful and multiply. And so he, before they left, he killed an animal and he gave them the skin of the animal. He wrapped them with the skin, and that was an atonement right there by the blood. Blood for blood. So the blood was for the life. And I'm not going to go heavily into this because I have some of my own opinions. But, you know, when this prince of power of air took over, everything changed. You know, when Adam lost his position, and Satan was released, and in that, everything changed. The whole world changed. Everything changed. And so, instead of Satan being encaged and Adam having the keys, Satan took the keys back from Adam in his position in office. And that's why Jesus had to come and go get the keys back. But atonement started right there. And then even atonement was, and we talked about this before, when Moses atoned 40 days for Israel because of their misconduct in worshiping another calf. In Leviticus 16 and verse 5, would you go there please? In verse 5. And this is on the Day of Atonement, and this is what the high priest is going to be doing. And it says, "And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat." Anybody ever heard the word scapegoat? Yeah, man. "And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall present it alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself." Okay, so we see that there was two goats, right? On one, now I want you to look at this, because Jesus actually fulfilled this in the area of the scapegoat. The scapegoat one was the innocent one, where the transgressions, the high priest would lay hands on the goat and impart all the transgressions of Israel. And it would go off into the wilderness, and they'd let it. They finally got to a point where they started pushing it off a cliff. And then the other goat they offered up to the Lord. So we know that Jesus was actually the scapegoat for me and you. So in this, Jesus fulfilled both parts, didn't he? Because he was the high priest. So in fulfilling both parts, He paid the price for me and you. He became the scapegoat so that we didn't have to pay that price. And he also died on the cross to fulfill and take part of all the sins. Everybody okay? That's our dad, isn't it? So now Passover was a sacrificial or a sacrifice of a lamb. And that was a representation of personal redemption or atonement. It was a representation of salvation. So Passover, the atonement was made with a lamb for your salvation. Yom Kippur, or the sacrifice, I want to say, of a goat, for the cleansing of corporate Israel. The goat is a representation of rebellion. The lamb was submissive, or the sheep. Remember the Lord said, I will separate the goat and the sheep. The scapegoat, again, was an innocent person where the blame is placed, or the lamb in representation of Jesus took it. The Day of Atonement is Israel's prophetic national day of salvation. The Lord said in one day he will save them. Go back to Leviticus 16, where we are. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now this is talking about the priest's operation, isn't it? Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. So we see that even the high priest had to have specific linen. He had to prepare himself, didn't he? And to put on what? Holy garments, right? Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In verse 11. And now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in what? That was his fine linen. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Why? He's made us to be what? Priests and kings. These were the fine linens. Now out of their mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. For he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we see here now, I want you to begin to look at this, because in the area of atonement, he is also coming not only in dress, in the area where his garments are dipped in blood as the high priest in fulfillment to fulfill, because only he can enter the Holy of Holies. But is he also coming as king and judge, isn't he, on the Day of Atonement? But what was his garments? They were dipped in blood. That was his garments now that he will return with. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he is the high priest. That's why he has these garments dipped in blood. Go to Revelation 11. Revelation 11 and verse 3. And Jesus said, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 262 days clothed in sackcloth, and this is 42 months, isn't it? Now again, I truly believe in this area where the two witnesses, because it says they will be testimony, they will testify, they will call fire down from heaven, and it's very possible that it can be Moses and Elijah. Some people believe it's Enoch. The Bible says that a man is accounted to die once. Well, I believe that when you come to Christ, you're to be dying to yourself, right? Because if we had to all die once, nobody could be raptured. Okay. And then Enoch couldn't have been taken, and neither could Elijah. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So, I personally believe it will be Moses and Elijah who come, because all the plagues and the events that will be happening are all representation of what Moses and Elijah did, not what Enoch did. Okay. Now we see here that these two prophets that will be here, they'll be here in Israel. The 144,000 will be sealed. We know that the prophets are sealed. That means that the body of Christ can leave. Feast of Trumpets. They'll be here 3.5 years, won't they? Good. Let's go a little further. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth. That's my kind of stuff, man. And devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Let's keep going. For they will finish their testimony. Then a beast that ascends out of a bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So we know that the Lord allowed them to finish their testimony, and then the Lord allowed them to get killed. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets did what? Tormented those who dwell on the earth. Why was the torment there? In hope that people would come to repentance. Remember, from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement will be the Great Tribulation. I truly believe that the first 3.5 years of tribulation is going to be a false peace. It'll be associated with the 7 letters to the church. And the second 3.5 years will be associated with the 7 seals. And in this, we see here that these prophets will be tormenting individuals. And man, they're going to hate them. But the Lord allows after their 42 months. Now I want you to get something here. It's powerful. 42 months. Go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. So after these two prophets are killed, they lay out for 3.5 days and they rise, don't they? The Lord says, come up here. And not only will they be resurrected, but I really believe the 144,000 will be resurrected. And those who've come to Christ, who've died and so forth, and those who've accepted Jesus Christ will also be removed also. Why? Because the sealer who seals them all is returning. And Jeremiah 29, is everybody there? Okie dokie. In verse 21. Thus says the Lord God of hosts of Israel, concerning Ahab the son of Kaliah and Zedekiah the son of Manasseh, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And because of them, a curse shall be taken up by all the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have done disgraceful things in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know and am a witness, says the Lord. Now, here is the kicker. Zedekiah was the last king of Israel. In fact, he was the 42nd king. 42 months. The last king of Israel. Well, after 42 months, guess who's returning? The king of Israel. Does everybody get it? See, so the prophets were there doing what they needed to do in fulfillment of the true king who was going to come. The last king was Zedekiah. He was the 42nd king. That was it. And what did he do? He got roasted. That was the last king of Israel. So we know that Jesus will return 42 months after trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, because the trumpet went out for the coronation of the king that was coming. The trumpet goes out in the area of warning the people. The trumpet goes out in the area of gathering and battle. That's why the trumpet comes. 42 months of prophets prophesying, tormented people. The purpose was to get them saved. 144,000 are all over the world, and I truly believe that the Lord just translates them wherever they want to go and need to go to tell people, don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast. The king is coming. The king is coming. The true king of kings is coming. He will come here to fulfill atonement. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 12. And you must remember something, that the feasts are the feasts of the Lord. Not the feasts of the Gentiles or not the feasts of the Jews. They are the feasts of the Lord and representation of Him. His appointed times, His visitations, things that He's going to do. I can't emphasize enough the importance of that. Every believer should know the feasts of the Lord. It should be taught in every church. That is our sacred understanding of who He truly is and everything that He has done. It's not some kind of people think, man, you know, you got to be this or you got to be that to get the understanding of these feasts. It's really not. The Holy Spirit says we know all things. We will know all things, and we must be ready. He said, get understanding, get wisdom. And John chapter 12, is everybody there? In verse 48, would you read it with me? He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him where? In the last day. The last day. See, in reality, the day of atonement is actually the last day for man. That's why it's known as the sixth feast, representation of man. It's the last day for man. That's it. Once atonement's done, it's over. You're either in or out. Go to Revelation 16. So when will be the last day for man? When the day Jesus returns as king. It won't be in 10 days, okay? Better sell all your assets. I wouldn't want anybody to leave here and go, oh my God, 10 days, that's it. It's not, okay? Revelation 16 and verse 12. This is powerful, man. I'm telling you, it just blows my mind. And, you know, and how God just coordinates everything. And everything just fits as a perfect puzzle. It says, then the sixth, angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. And its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouths of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. They shall gather them together in the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So we know that the Lord is going to come and war in Armageddon, isn't he? When? On atonement. Why? Because he's going to atone, isn't he? For who? Israel. Go to Revelation 6. But did you notice it was the what angel? The sixth angel. You'll notice things are associated with man again. Man. In Revelation 6, in verse 12, and I looked when he opened the sixth seal. Man, there's sure a lot of coincidences here, isn't there? And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Again, I just want to share something with you. And my opinion and my belief in this area is that not only are there the six seals, and each seal represents a trumpet and a bowl. See, if you truly follow and see what's going on, there's correlations in all of this, in every area. I truly, again, believe that the first 3.5 years is a representation of the seven letters to the church. So the church will wake up and begin to let people know, because we're going to know that that 70th week is going to start, because we know that a covenant will be made with Israel for peace. And we're going to know that. We'll still be here. I truly believe we'll still be here for the 3.5 years. Why? Because we must be replaced by the 144,000 and the two prophets who are sealed. Then great tribulation will come. Then, you know, Satan will put on flesh and hang out for 3.5 years and bring torment and all havoc to the earth, won't he? Go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. And verse 5. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of what? Jacob's trouble, meaning Israel. But he shall be saved out of it. In other words, the Lord will still come and rescue Israel no matter what. Even if the whole world turns on Israel, Jesus is coming to rescue Israel. Does everybody see this? It's called Jacob's trouble, where Israel will be saved in a day. Let's go to Zephaniah, chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Are you getting it? Are you seeing the correlation between trumpets and atonement? Again, it's not going to happen 10 days after. It'll happen 42 months after. Why? To fulfill the king. Zephaniah chapter 1. In verse 1. Verse 2. And this is called the great day of the Lord. And he says, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and all the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. And I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, and names of idolatrous priests with pagan priests. Those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Malchum, those which is a pagan god, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited His guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, and I will punish the princes, the kings of the children, and all such as clothed with foreign apparel. And the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crushing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh. From the merchant people are cut down, and all those who handle money are cut off. Whoa, let's keep going. This is good. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. I mean, think about this. You know how many people think that God is not a judgment God? Oh, He won't do it. Oh, He's a loving God. Go ahead, you keep sinning and stand in front of Him. You'll know what's what. You keep fornicating and lying and touching unclean things. It's amazing to me how many people think that just because they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they can go out and serve the devil and expect to make it home. That preaching's got to stop. That's nothing but a lie from hell and a spirit of error. Telling people that once you accept Jesus, you can go out and serve the devil and you'll be okay. That's just plumb crazy, man. That's called once saved, always saved. That's called once lied to, always lied to. In verse 13. Therefore their goods shall become... their goods shall become what? Booty. And their houses of desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day, the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet an alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuge. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Now that's powerful. I'd say that my dad was a little angry that day. Go to Revelation 12, please. Revelation chapter 12. Now, again, I want to explain something before I share the scripture, because you got to remember, there are the deep things of God, isn't there? These are not things that we can comprehend with our carnal understanding. We must go deeper into the things of the Lord to see what God is really saying. And in this, the scriptures can represent multiple things. And even a word in Hebrew can mean more than one meaning. And in the scripture that I want to share, I want you to understand that the Lord is expressing more than just one event. It says in verse 1, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Now the woman is noted as Israel. The 12 tribes is representation of 12 tribes of Israel. But I want you also to understand something else. The woman is also a representation of the area where she is going to be carrying a child that will birth the Son of God, who will be associated with 12 disciples. Okay, let's go a little further. "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven," which is a representation of Satan, who was at one time God's right-hand man, known as Lucifer, who was a praise and worship leader of the universe. He was in charge of a third of the angels. Same thing with Michael and Gabriel. So that's why his tail could draw a third of the stars, known as angels, to the earth. Okay. "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne." Praise God. We know what happened. We know that's a representation of the woman that gave birth. We know that Israel is the one, the land of Israel is the one that gave birth to Jesus. Okay? Now we know that that is finished. It's completed, isn't it? That was a season that was fulfilled. It was a prophecy that was fulfilled, right? Okay, now, look at this now. "Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I want you to get something here because it's important. Because the woman now is talking about the bride of Christ, who will be raptured, and what's going to happen? You'll be fed where? What's 42 months left? Where are you going to be raptured to? Well, you're not going to be raptured to Baltimore, I can tell you that. You're going to be removed from the earth and brought to where? Heaven. And we're supposed to have a feast, aren't we? So it says here that the woman will be removed, won't it? The woman, there's a place prepared. Remember Jesus came and he said, "I prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you," right? So I want you to go beyond what your carnal understanding is here and go deeper in the spirit. Because here now the Lord is, remember that this is already being fulfilled, what's going on now. Now the woman is a representation of what Jesus birthed. What did he birth on the cross? Me and you. Aren't we the bride? We're the woman, aren't we? Remember when Adam put to sleep, right? Took the rib out, that same place where Adam took the rib out is the same place Jesus was pierced. Representation of the birth. That's where the Spirit of Christ, in other words, he birthed me and you, didn't he? On the cross. And you and I can have the Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Is everybody okay? Now look at this. Are you all right? You sure? Okay, so here we are. We're taken, right? So we're up there partying and so forth. Getting down, Holy Ghost shuffle, eating, you know, whatever. We could be interceding, I'm sure, you know, all kinds of stuff. I haven't really checked it out yet, so. But if I find out, I'll let you know exactly. I'll let you know what's on the menu. And so now go to verse 7, right? And it says, "Now war broke out in heaven," right? Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to where? The earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to understand something. The word heaven here represents spiritual arena. And we know that Satan is going to put on flesh. He has to. He's going to come in the world and put on flesh. Do you remember what happened to the angels that put on flesh? What happened to them? They got what? Bound. That's why Satan will be bound, because he'll put on flesh. So now look at. So we see here now, their war broke out in heaven. Satan comes into the natural realm, and so do his angels. These dudes are going to put on flesh. They're going to possess. You know, they're going to look like humanoids. And verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God night and day has been cast out. In other words, Satan no longer has access into the spirit realm. He's in the natural realm. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Who is that? Those who made it through the 3.5 years of great tribulation. Is everybody okay? And they loved their lives unto what? Death. Why? Because many people are going to get saved during that great tribulation period. The purpose of the increase in the atonement and more of God's wrath is to rescue souls. Till eventually individuals will just hate God and he won't let them die for a while. He'll let them torment. Roast. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? Short time. Do y'all get this? He's got what? 3.5 years. I'd say that's a short time. It's been around so long. Okay, Revelation 19. And verse 17. We're going to close here. See, I had to get all that beginning stuff in so you understood what's happening, you know? Let you know that our dad is not only the high priest, but he is the King of Kings. And he's fulfilling. He's coming back as the high priest with the garments dipped in blood. He's coming back to bring judgment and fulfillment and atonement and rescue Israel in one day. So if you're left behind, go to Israel. Revelation 19 and verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather together for the supper of the great God. Isn't God good? He's not only going to feed us, he's going to feed all the animals here on the earth. He says what? That you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Man, I'm glad I'm on the right side. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Come on, one more. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal. Oh, Satan finally got the seal. And set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a while. Now, so remember this now. I want you to get this, all right? So Jesus comes to fulfill kingship, fulfill priesthood, and when? Atonement. Right? And in the atonement, it's a representation of removal of sin. It's atoning, right? Covering. So with atonement, he finally takes the prince of sin. Do you understand this? After he comes and kicks butt, then he takes the prince of sin and locks him up so that there's no more sin for 1,000 years. See, he finishes it off not only by kicking butt in Armageddon and destroying, but then he finishes it off by taking the father of sin and binding him for 1,000 years. And then 5 days later, he fulfills the Feast of Tabernacle for 1,000 years. And you and I, we have glorified bodies. Now, we'll have glorified bodies, but this isn't going to be our home. We'll reign here, but our home will be in heaven. Because Jerusalem has not come down yet. The temple will be built, but Jerusalem will not come down until after 1,000 years. Are you hearing? Jerusalem will be built, temple will be built, so forth. But then the true Jerusalem, after the 1,000 years, then fire will come, burn up everything, we'll have a new earth to fit the new Jerusalem. But you and I will be going to and fro with a glorified body for 1,000 years. And there will still be people, the Bible tells us, and I'm not getting in, I'll talk about the millennium later, that the people that will be living in the millennium will live to 100 years old and then die. But those with glorified bodies will live forever. And after 1,000 years, everybody will be raised, the last final resurrection of the throne room of judgment, or white throne room of judgment. See, you still got a lot of new agers out there and stuff that have been digging holes for a long time, storing up food forever. They may make it through the wrath, the great tribulation. There's going to be people that are going to make it through great tribulation and survive. But we'll talk more about this later. Is everybody okay? So from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Atonement, will be 42 months. Everybody all right? Come on, get it ready now. Now 10 days we're going to fast. I didn't say for 10 days. I said, in 10 days we're going to fast. In preparation for the Feast of Atonement, praise God. We're going to afflict ourselves. And if you can't do it, I'll gladly help you. Praise God. Hey, what's a pastor for, right? Let's lift our hands to heaven and thank the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. Thank you, Lord, for revelation and rhema and preparation, Lord. Lord, we commit all things to you. We are honored and blessed to be your children, to be sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Master. Again, we speak peace to Jerusalem and Israel and your Jewish people. We ask, Lord, that you'll bring salvation and protection there. We ask that you bring revival to the body of Christ and unity of the Spirit. Lord, bring boldness to your people. Melt the walls of denominations and bring us into a unity. Lord, slam down all the denominational garbage, all the walls and all the doctrine stuff that would try and prevent anything from us becoming unified with you. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight. I ask that you bless their socks off. And if they don't have any, get some. Lord, I ask that you visit them in dreams and visions, revelations and rhema. Lord, that wherever they walk, the kingdom be manifested. Whatever decree according to your will come to pass. And whatever they touch will prosper. Lord, I'm asking that you'll help us all come to the end of ourselves. that Christ could have prominence in us and through us, and your kingdom be manifested, and Jesus would receive all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah!